Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Imagine a world where a 39-day conflict between two global powers ends with a ceasefire, and the repercussions of this event are closely watched by a nation that relies heavily on the affected region for its energy needs. First, let's delve into the Iran ceasefire, which has led to the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, a critical waterway through which approximately 20% of global energy flows. What makes this significant is that the agreement includes the removal of transit fees of around $2 million per vessel that Iran had imposed during the hostilities. Crucially, this development has a direct impact on India, as about 60% of its crude oil is sourced from the Gulf, and over 1 crore Indian nationals live in the region. And here is something that surprises many students. During the conflict, 8 Indian casualties were reported. It is worth pausing here to note that India's multi-alignment posture, which involves engaging all parties without endorsing any, was thoroughly tested throughout the crisis. Remember this number, 20% of global energy flows through the Strait of Hormuz. Note this carefully. India's energy vulnerability is a significant concern, and its multi-alignment foreign policy is a key aspect of its diplomatic approach. Now, let us turn to the Jan Vishwas Bill, which has been passed by Parliament. Building on this, the Jan Vishwas 2.0 Bill decriminalizes 784 provisions across 79 central acts administered by 23 ministries. What makes this significant is that of these provisions, 717 relate to ease of doing business and 67 relate to ease of living, replacing imprisonment terms with monetary penalties, warnings, and improvement notices for technical or procedural offenses. And here is something that surprises many students, the first Jan Vishwas Act, which was passed in 2023, had covered 183 provisions in 42 laws. The Lok Sabha passed the bill on 1 April, and the Rajya Sabha passed it on 2 April 2026. This reform signals a shift from punitive to compliance-based governance, reducing the judicial burden and compliance costs, especially on MSMEs. So what exactly changed? The bill aims to simplify the regulatory framework and promote ease of doing business in India. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, the UPSC angle to this story includes regulatory reform, ease of doing business, legislative process, and MSME policy, all of which fall under GS2. Now, let us look at another significant development. Amul, the dairy cooperative, has become India's first FMCG company to achieve a turnover of 1 lakh crore. Crucially, this milestone is a testament to the success of the cooperative model in India. The Gujarat Cooperative Milk Marketing Federation, which markets the Amul brand, crossed 1 lakh crore in group annual turnover in FY26, with a standalone revenue of 73,450 crore, up 11.4% from 65,911 crore in FY25. What makes this significant is that Amul was established in 1946 in Anand, Gujarat, and became the model for India's White Revolution, led by Dr. Varghese Kurian through the National Dairy Development Board. Now, let us turn to the National Biodiversity Authority, which has notified two institutions as national repositories under the Biological Diversity Act, 2002. First, the Center for Marine Living Resources and Ecology, Kochi, holds over 3,500 voucher specimens under the Ministry of Earth Sciences. Second, the Adharkar Research Institute, Pune, is home to the MAX collection of microorganisms. What makes this significant is that these national repositories preserve biological resources, support access and benefit sharing, and document India's biodiversity wealth under the Nagoya Protocol. Remember this number, 20 national repositories in India. Note this carefully, the Biological Diversity Act, 2002, is a crucial piece of legislation for conservation and sustainable use of biodiversity in India. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of another significant development. The Niti Aayog has released a report on women's credit portfolio, which has grown 4.8 times to 76 lakh crore. What makes this significant is that women now control 26% of total system credit, up from 16 lakh crore in 2017. Crucially, credit penetration among women has increased to 36% in 2025, from 19% in 2017. And here is something that surprises many students: women's business purpose loans have grown at a CAGR of 31%, compared to 17% overall commercial credit growth. So what exactly changed? The report highlights the growing importance of women's economic empowerment and financial inclusion in India. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, the UPSC angle to this story includes women's economic empowerment, financial inclusion, gender credit gap, and SHG linkage, all of which fall under GS1 and GS2. Now, let us turn to the Pradhan Mantri Mudra Yojana, which has completed 11 years. Building on this, the scheme operates through three tiers: Shishu, Kishore, and Tarun, providing collateral-free loans to non-corporate, non-farm micro and small enterprises. What makes this significant is that historically, around 68-70% of loan accounts have gone to women beneficiaries and over 50% to SC-sent OBC borrowers. And here is something that surprises many students: the RBI has doubled the collateral-free MSME loan limit from 10 lakh to 20 lakh, effective 1st April 2026. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CE20 engine is not relevant to this discussion, but the key facts in this story are: the Strait of Hormuz, India's energy vulnerability, the Jan Vishwas Bill, Amul's turnover, the National Biodiversity Authority, and the Niti Aayog report on women's credit portfolio. The significance of these facts lies in their connection to India's development, conservation, and economic empowerment. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? The UPSC angle to these stories includes regulatory reform, ease of doing business, legislative process, MSME policy, cooperative model, Operation Flood, NDDB, rural economy, biological diversity, and women's economic empowerment, all of which are crucial aspects of GS2 and GS3. In conclusion, these developments highlight the complex interplay of geopolitical, economic, and environmental factors that shape India's growth and development. The implications of these stories are far-reaching, and it is essential to understand their significance in the context of India's strategic position and development goals.